Shut up and sit down.
Pirates with two very interesting series coming up at PNC Park against the Arizona Diamondbacks and the Texas Rangers. Joining me right now to talk about that, he covers the Pirates for the Trib at Trib Live. It is Kevin Gorman. Kevin, the Pirates finally busted out a little bit against the Detroit Tigers, winning 8-0 in their most recent game, a day off to come back and now face Arizona. What do you make of the Diamondbacks and their start, and how about Texas coming up next? The Pirates really going to be tested here with two of the better teams in baseball so far this season.
Yeah, I think that's the big key, is that they're facing two very solid teams. Teams, I believe, both of them have better records than the Pirates. So that's the challenge. And one, Arizona is not only a very young, talented team, but one that has a lot of speed. So we could see the Pirates facing another team that likes to be aggressive on the base paths and things like that. So, that's going to be a big challenge. It's another team that, you know, like the Pirates, has struggled the past few years and has developed some players through their farm system. So, that should be a real kind of a litmus test for where the Pirates are, because they've been so streaky that they've been up and down. But, you know, we're seeing a team right now that is still, given this early state of the season, the Pirates are still kind of in the, division hunt and in within playoff contention, although it's certainly trending in the opposite direction.
Saturday, Mitch Keller goes, and he's starting to turn into a draw unto himself, Kevin. I mean, like, people are actually anticipating Mitch Keller starts now.
Isn't that a complete upside down from where he was just a few years ago, when, you kind of never knew what to expect from Mitch Keller from start to start, and he just wasn't able to put, back-to-back starts together, and now we're talking about a guy who's coming into his next start with a 16-inning scoreless streak, had his first complete game shutout with a 13-strikeout game career best, and then followed that with a terrific performance. So I think we're seeing a guy who is now finally living up to the hype, is living up to the expectations of what we've heard about him as a prospect, and we're seeing a guy pitching with complete confidence, and it's something when his teammates are somewhat mesmerized. When you hear the other guys talking about him in glowing terms, saying like, "Boy, his stuff is electric out there," or saying, I think Austin Hedges said he's pitching like a Cy Young Award winner, and this is a guy who's caught some really good pitchers. You're seeing Mitch Keller take his game to another level, and that's something that not only were the Pirates, desperately hoping for, but it's something that shows you that there is kind of there is a light at the end of the tunnel in terms of what the Pirates are trying to do here, and that he's maybe kind of the first example of what Oscar Marine's trying to do with the pitching staff.
For a long time, Kev, I kind of wondered if the discussion about his mental toughness, his fortitude, his focus, maybe thinking too much of the mound, getting too far down on himself when he wasn't succeeding, I started to wonder, first of all, if that was becoming a self-fulfilling prophecy, A, and B, if we were all paying too much attention to it to the point that we were making it a catch-all excuse for why he wasn't performing. Maybe he just wasn't good enough. But now I am seeing the fruits of that. You can just tell the confidence with which he's throwing all of these pitches and how effective they are when they're coming out of his hand. I mean, he's throwing wiffle balls up there. It just seems like the confidence has bled into the results.
And a lot of it's come through trial and error, Tim. Mitch Keller has always had the stuff. I don't know that he always threw it with conviction. I don't know that he always had, an attack plan going up there the way that he does now. And I think, in the long run, at the time it was pretty devastating for a prospect to come up and have a debut like he did, where he gave up 6 runs in the first inning, including a grand slam. And that was, I think you saw a young guy who was shell-shocked. I think he thought he had the type of stuff to come up and compete right away in the major leagues. And he had to go through a period that he didn't deal with so much in the minors, where, he was hittable, where he wasn't throwing strikes, where he wasn't, dazzling everybody with his stuff. And now you're seeing a guy who is quite the opposite. He's pitching with that conviction, with that confidence. He's making the ball move, and he's dominating hitters. And not only has he been dominant in those starts, but you have to consider that both of those starts came amid losing streaks. I think they had lost seven and then four.
Yeah, he was the literal stopper. He was the only guy that you could count on him going out and getting a win for the team.
That's the thing. I mean, it's like, you know, the Pirates have been desperate for a guy that they could call, you know, the anchor or the ace of their staff. And he's literally, right before our very eyes, become that stopper that they've so desperately needed since Gerrit Cole left. And I think, you know, the Pirates did that gradually. You know, you go back, and this just gives you an idea of how far Mitch Keller's come. The Pirates had him set up last spring, in the spring of 2022. They had him set up, if you counted the days, to be the opening day starter, and he blew it. He had a terrible spring, and then they basically moved in a different direction and went with JT Brubaker. And that tells you that, there, you know, there's a guy who still hadn't had things figured out at the start of last spring. At one point last season, he was moved to the bullpen to kind of get some things in order. And so this is, you know, this isn't just an overnight thing, but this is, you know, it is within the last year. You know, this is something that has, you know, kind of happened relatively suddenly, even though it's taken a few years for Mitch Keller to do. And some of that, you know, that 2020 season was kind of a lost year for him and for a lot of players. But it's been exciting to see, because this is a guy that, you know, since he came up with the Pirates, I remember, you know, talking to him very early in his, you know, minor league career about how he was supposed to be their next great pitcher. And I always saw the confidence, but I, you know, it's one thing when the confidence gets rattled or gets shaken and you see a guy bounce back from that. And I think that tells you a little bit about Mitch Keller's mental fortitude.
Well, they better win that Saturday start. It's a 4:05 start. Keller on the mound against, I don't even know how the kid says his name. Is it Fad? Fat? Faadt for Arizona. He had two rough starts to begin his season, but then his most recent start was much better. But they still better win that one, because they've got Gallen and Kelly that they're going up against for Arizona in the other two games tonight and on Sunday. And those guys have been pretty good lately.
Yeah, and you know, I
should be fair. Contreras was better in his last start. They just didn't hit for him.
Well, they haven't hit for many guys, and that's where I think it was so promising to see that you know, some of these guys have made some good starts even when they haven't had the hitting, you know, backing them up, and that, like, they've just been very streaky. And you know, I think what it really shows is just how dominant the pitching was in the month of April when they had 18 quality starts out of 28 games. And just how, you know, kind of precarious it could be for the Pirates if they don't get that great pitching, because the hitting is so unpredictable. But, you know, certainly the Pirates have had, you know, they've had their trouble with some of these guys that you mentioned. And I think what they need to do, when you look at the Pirates' record at home right now, they're 10-9 in home and 13-11 on the road. They kind of need to establish that they're going to be a team that can win at home, because right now they're just slightly above 500. And so I think that's a big thing for this homestand, is to show that they can not only win at home, but do so against teams that are considered better than they are, at least in terms of the win-loss records.
Kevin Gorham with us. He covers the Pirates here at Trib Live. Where are you in the catcher discussion, Kev? Should they call up these two guys or what, Davis and Rodriguez?
No, I'm firmly in the against that move. I think it would be reactionary to what the fans want, for one, and I think it could possibly be like we saw with, you know, bringing back to Keller in his debut. I don't think it's worth, you know, risking the setbacks that could come for these guys for the hope that maybe they can come up and hit major league pitching, which, you know, is a lot different than hitting double A or triple A pitching. When I saw Andy Rodriguez and Henry Davis at spring training this year, they look like two very talented young guys. And you said, okay, wow, there's hope for the future with these two. They both are, you know, are athletic. They're strong. You know, they're good behind the plate. But you looked at them compared to Austin Hedges and Jason DeLay and even Kevin Plawecki and Tyler Heineman, and you saw two young guys who weren't nearly as ready defensively as the major league caliber guys. And I know, you know, Austin Hedges isn't hitting. And I've seen him, as good as he's been behind the plate, in some ways, I've seen him, you know, have a catcher's interference. I've seen guys steal bases on him and, you know, and make a throw that, you know, high throw that cost them a run in a game. I've seen him make his share of mistakes too. But the pitchers rave about Hedges, you know, and I think, you know, that has something to do with what you're seeing from Keller is that, you know, Hedges has been behind the plate. Jason DeLay's, you know, hitting very, very well right now. He actually has, you know, a team best 339 batting average, even though he has probably half, you know, half or maybe even more as many bats as the team leaders. But these guys, they need work behind the plate. You know, Henry Davis just the other night, I think it was Tuesday night, let a wild pitch get past him and the game-winning run scored. And he had, I guess, Saturday night, he had a wild pitch get past him, and he recovered and got the ball and threw the guy out at the plate. But the same thing could have happened, you know, twice in a three-game span. Those are things you can't overlook. You know, there's scouts that are out there saying, you know, Henry Davis may not be a major league catcher. That's not I just don't think it's realistic, and I also think that there's a bit of a complex with the Pirates and their fan base that they're always looking for somebody from the minor leagues to come up and be the savior, and they don't take into consideration that there is a, you know, a growth period that's required to go from the minors to the majors, and that even guys who are, you know, considered like a baseball unicorn like O'Neill Cruz went through his share of struggles transitioning to major league pitching. And so, you know, it's one to me, I look at it more that it's been more beneficial to those guys to spend a little more time in the minors and to figure things out and to be, and when they come up for them to be ready to be impact players, you know, and I look at what Baltimore did with Adley Rutschman. And when he came up, you know, this is a guy who was ready. You know, sometimes they hold guys back too long, and sometimes it's certainly for service time manipulation. There's no question about that. Every team in baseball does it, and the Pirates as guilty as anyone. But in this case, I think it's really more important that the Pirates have these guys so that they're not yo-yoing back and forth between the majors and the minors, which could be, you know, confidence crushing. And I think it's more important for them to get these guys so that they're ready when they make their major league debut.
Kevin, what's going on with the drone show tonight? Is it Marvel? Is that what I understand? They're set to a Marvel theme. Is that right?
I honestly couldn't tell you, Tim. You know, these things that they promote for the fans, whether it's a drone show or a fireworks night, I miss all of it because we're doing post-game interviews. So I never get to see them anyway. The only thing that I can tell you that I've actually gotten to enjoy in a post-game was a concert last year from the Clarks, because it didn't actually start until we were back upstairs. And so basically the whole time I was writing my game story, the Clarks were performing. But yeah, these things, I'm kind of, you know, clueless about all these promotions because I never, you know, we never enjoy any of them.
Yeah, the Marvel stuff is going to be lost on me. When they did the baseball drone show, like I knew who Dave Parker was. I knew who Bill Mazeroski was. So when they did the outlines of those guys, I got it. But the Marvel stuff, I don't think I'm going to do as well tonight watching from my deck. So I can assure you I will be right there with you and kind of having it lost on me.
Yeah, well, I guess you probably have as good a view from your deck as, or maybe a better view from your deck as I have from the press box, given that I'll be downstairs the whole time that's going on. Usually when there's a fireworks night or something, we can smell, you know, the smoke coming
in from
the press box.
Yeah, right, exactly, yeah.
So that's about as much as we get to experience of it.
Thanks, Kev. Appreciate it. We'll do it again next week.
All right, thanks for having me, Tim.
All right, Kevin Gorman covers the Pirates and the Trib. Read his work all weekend long for the series against the Diamondbacks. And then again to start next week as the Texas Rangers come to town at PNC Park as well. This is Breakfast with Benz. This is Trib Live.